Hebrews 5, if you would. Of course, looking here in this chapter won't be for you long. Look at our time. We got plenty of time. And we'll look this morning at, I was thinking about Salvation Army was today. Of course, they're going to be fed. And we talked about the children on the bus routes that come on Wednesday nights. And of course, prayer request was made they might have a good meal every day at least. One good meal, if not more, hopefully, prayerfully, that they would. And so we're going to look at this morning something that I guess you've heard taught on before. You've probably heard preached on before, but the sincere, I guess, milk of the word or being fed. And so what I did, and I think I've done this before in times past, but if it has been several years ago, I've broken that down into infants, children, adolescents, and mature adults, and apply that to Christianity, what the definition of those mean, and they apply, it's very, simple, to the same way we are as Christians, and in our life, and the way we study, and where different points we're at in our life. Now, if you go through Hebrews 1, 2, and 3, and 4 here, of course, you get into dangers of unbelief. Of course, in Hebrews, he early on is talking about how Christ was superior to Moses, letting the Jews know that as well. Of course, us know that as well, but talking about their unbelief. Of course, Israel unbelief, even with Moses and difficulty they had there, going through, 3 and 4. And I'm just kind of glancing at some of the verses as a remembrance, but the danger of unbelieving or not believing in God or believing in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But of course, then the sympathetic Christ or Savior, that he's still sympathetic toward us, even though we're as bad as we are. We still have a Savior who's sympathetic to us and to our needs. And then, of course, in chapter 5, you get into his priesthood and Christ the high priest. And what we're just going to look at this morning here, just a few verses, and then a couple other places, and we'll kind of define what an infant would be, we think about in Scripture, and think about children, adolescents, and mature adults, and kind of maybe where we fall or where we might be in ourselves. Let's see here. Let's see Hebrews 5. Let's do verse number 11, and kind of then we'll go maybe into verse number 1 of chapter 6 or so, and that'd be about it. So of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, it would be the sayings of God or the teachings of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Or just, we think about that. We look at strong meat of not just, a more complete meal. We think of solid food. We'll get to that in just a second when we look at infants. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So in other words, the description here is what we're looking at is in an appeal, to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but not only that we believe, but also that we grow in knowledge and in his word. And as we're looking here, he's beginning to describe some who remain on the milk, but they need to increase their diet, or they need to change to stronger meat or more complete meal, so to speak. I know me of late, last visit I had down to Houston, they wanted me to get on high protein, and virtually they didn't want me to have a lot of sugar, but I had these high protein drinks and different things, and it's hard to find those that don't have a lot of sugar in them, but they don't want me to have a lot of sugar. And I'm not diabetic. They're just, that's kind of the craze now, is high protein, as little sugar as you can get. And I guess they throw in 20 or 30% fat and it don't bother them. Now, you wait another 5 or 6 years, it'll be the opposite. They'll change that around. You remember used to, they didn't want you to eat eggs, and they had all those egg, substitutes. And people got on those and sold those. But Scripture's not that way. It doesn't change. It's straightforward. And so everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, or remains a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. In other words, show some maturity, even those by whose reason of, the way they live their lives, the way they practice their lives, the way they live, their communication with others, have their senses exercised, or in other words, are to the point they can discern both good and evil. It's difficult to do that when you remain on milk. And we'll see that in just a second as we break down our growth in childhood to adulthood as we think about as babies are born and when we become adults and some things we go through. But keep that in mind. I wanted to read verse 1 of chapter 6. It said, therefore. So therefore means to look above, think about it, remember the verses from above. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of the faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. So keep that in mind as we go through Hebrews, we go through the rest of the scripture here that I have to look at in Hebrews 5. I'll kind of mark that and leave that here. What I want to look at, and then I'm going to go over to 1 Corinthians in a second. I got it marked, but I jotted these things down, and I thought about an infant. And, infants, when you're born, they're babies, and, of course, we all love them to death. They're meant to be cuddled. And you think about that when you're saved. And, of course, I think there in Hebrews, he's talking about some who had either remained on the milk or they changed their diet, got off the strong meat and got back on the milk. But either way, their growth had been hindered. They had slowed down at some point. You can grow as an infant and grow to 6 or 7, 8 years old, and then your diet change and, you change in your bone growth, maybe in your stature, your height, whatever, just based upon diet. We see that a lot of times with children who are adopted from other countries, but they're already 3, 4, 5 years old when they get to this country. As they take x-rays, let's say, and they wanted to check out the child and follow the child's growth. Once they're put on an American diet, some things are not great. You don't want to go through a McDonald's line every day. But as far as in general, the nutrition is much better than what it would be in a third world country. So you begin to see changes in the way the child grows and gain weight, bone length changes. In other words, they may come to this country and they're in the 30th percentile, so to speak, of children their age. And after a couple years, maybe they're in the 60th percentile. In other words, the change in nutrition is beneficial to them. You think about that in our spiritual growth as well. You stay out of the Bible, just come to church on Sunday, listen to the preaching, and that's it. And then what happens is your growth slows down. You're not maturing. You're not growing the way you should. You're not getting all the food. You're not getting all the nutrition you need. The last time I went down to Houston, I know they told me, he's a British guy, and he doesn't say vitamins, it's vitamins. And, of course, I'm sitting there, you think about it, and you're probably all the same way. You go in and see this specialist, and that's his expertise. And he looks at you, and he's talking to you, and he says, and you've got a British accent, which I can't do that, so I'm not going to try it. But he says, be sure you've got plenty of vitamins and minerals. And I have to sit there and think a minute, and I think, vitamins, vitamins. So carrying on in conversation with him, and Kim got tickled, because carrying on in conversation, as I was repeating things back to him to make sure I understood, I said, so I need more vitamins and with minerals. And, that shows you I just tried to fit right in with him, so I'm on the vitamins now. And he smiled, had a great big smile, and he said, you may say vitamins, but the correct English pronunciation is vitamins. And so anyway, I got the biggest kick out of that. Of course, he's born and raised in England, so to him, our English is, we're just not, it doesn't matter where he goes in the country, it's not correct. But anyway, so I'm on vitamins and minerals. He just said, no, it's the Flintstone vitamins and minerals that I take. So, but anyway, I say that because when you're an infant, you're cuddled, you're fed milk, and it's gentle. We're at the hospital sometimes working. We have what we call baby week, and that's the week where A lot of the residents maybe I work with, they deliver babies or take care of babies that are born that week. They rotate that because it doesn't happen often, but once or twice a week somebody comes in, their doctor's not available, they're not there, it's 2 a.m. You got to have somebody take care of the baby. And so we call that baby week. And although early in the morning sometimes, as they're talking about the baby that was born, they'll talk about, oh, the baby's beginning to take milk. Baby's beginning to eat. And so, you know, they'll ask them questions. They'll say, well, we're doing it gently at first, every 2 hours. And I know a lot of times with the young moms, they'll kind of shake their head. And, of course, these are usually, they're not always, but it seems like it's always the guy residents or young doctors that get the young moms who've never had a child who always say, every 2 hours. And, of course, a lot of them don't have kids, so they're acting like, yep, every 2 hours. But their point is to gently introduce the baby to the milk and to gently soothe the baby, let them rest, etc. And so I think about that, so to be gentle with them. It's early stages of development, and so you want to be sure to get all the vitamins that they need, all the nutrition that they need. Because you think about it, as an infant, you can't speak. There's no speech. You know, you can whine and you can cry, and a lot of times we know that that means that the infant is hungry, needs something to eat. But as an infant, and also spiritually, if you've been saved and maybe not saved very long, sometimes it's difficult to speak up or to ask questions. So that's at a point where you're getting that sincere milk of the Word. Maybe it's just time for you to listen and grow. And if you think about it, that's what infants do. They listen and they grow. You know, I heard a statement not long ago, and I've used it several times now, and it's been several years. I mentioned something to someone about their children and how they were growing so fast. And he said, yeah. He said, yeah, you feed them and you water them, and that's what happens. And I've used it. And, you know, that's true. You feed them and you water them, and that's what happens. And it seems like they pick up a lot of our ways, so to speak, just by watching us as moms and dads. But, of course, they have their own personalities as well. And that's always amazed me how that just develops. But there's always pieces, I've said that, of their personality that tends to either favor sometimes mom or dad or a mix of both. So infants are cuddled, they're fed milk. You got to be gentle with them. Early stages of development, they can't speak, no speech. And one I wanted to point out with this, you say, well, how does that affect us spiritually? Well, as an example in the Bible, I wanted to go over to, and you just stay where you're at, because I just read these three places really quick. It's one of the best examples, and I always love reading it, because I can apply it to my own life even now. How it's getting brighter and brighter. I like to read Paul's conversion. And so if you can see how stages of development, how you go from infant to child, adolescence to adult, there's no better example than Paul. So stay where you're at, because it doesn't take just a second to read these three verses, or three different places. It may be four verses. I may add another one here. But in Acts chapter 9, Paul talks about his conversion. This is the first time he kind of gives, a public comment about his conversion. And he says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And that's the first time that that's mentioned, the conversion of Saul. And he said he fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? But right before that, he said it was a light from heaven. That's what he said as you look there. Now going over in Acts and stay in the same book, and here we'll go over to chapter 22. I always like reading these, and I heard this pointed out before. It makes you stop and think how our life should grow as we're fed. In chapter 22, in verse number 6, and he says, and it came to pass, as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, still telling the same giving the same testimony as he did before. He said, and came nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly shone from heaven a great light round about me. So now all of a sudden it's changed. Now it's a great light. He's grown. There's been a lot of growing between chapter 9 and chapter 22. That's how it should be in our lives as well. Went from an infant, a child, an adolescent. And there's one other place in Scripture here. We go over to chapter 26, almost very, very end of Acts. And he continues with that testimony, and he tells it again. As he testifies of his conversion, He says, and here again he tells the same. He says, I was on my way to Damascus. I'm paraphrasing there, but I'm going to read it exactly. He said, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, said, at midday, O king, and I've noticed all these times he's mentioned, it's been around noon. So in other words, it was already during a bright time of the day. I can't think, you think about that's the time of the day when there's no shadow. Sun's at its highest. It's very bright. But still, this light was so bright. It said, midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. So infants are cuddled, they're fed milk. Got to be gentle with them. It's the early stages of development. They can't speak. You have to go by their crying, and sometimes their whimpering or their restlessness to determine whether it's time to feed them or not. And you usually go slow with the milk. But again, that as they begin to grow, of course, they become small children. But as we see here in Paul's own conversion, and I like to go back and look at that, that shows you kind of the stages of development. And as we live as Christians, that light should get brighter as we live. A little bit brighter along the way. You know, you've heard an old-timer say before, so I'm getting a little bit closer. Heard them say before, so I got more friends over there than I got over here. You've heard those comments before as you've grown up and as you've been in church and as you've lived a few years. That development, it continues. It never stops developing. Even now, you think, oh, no, I'm not developing anymore. Well, you got to have food to keep yourself going. I don't care if you're 85, 90 years old, you still got to have a diet. And you think about that spiritually, you still got to have a diet to keep going. There's a few things, I look at my time and I'm okay, that will hinder a diet. And I wanted to look at those, and I had those marked just for the sake of time. But over in 1 Corinthians, there's a few things that will hinder growth, hinder your diet. 1 Corinthians, if I recall, I thought I had it marked chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. A carnal mind will hinder growth. We'll get to the children and adolescents and adults in just a second. And said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. In other words, Paul saying, I can't speak unto you as if in the spiritual sense, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Here we go back to babes again. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. In other words, you couldn't take it. I'd be like taking an infant and trying to give him a steak. Neither now are ye able. So he's saying, from the way I read that, Paul's saying you should be able to eat some meat. Your diet should have changed by now, but it hasn't. It can't. He said, I've tried to give it to you, but you can't take it. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So there's something that hinders growth. That's a carnal mind. That hinders our growth, hinders our scripture reading, hinders our study, hinders our spiritual walk. And that's having a carnal mind. And that's easy to do. And that's why I think he brings that out here in Corinth, especially in the days that we live today. And then, you know, we are told over in 1 Peter to have a desire. That means longing for the sincere milk of the Word. And from that, you continue to grow. Let's go on and look next. And we talk about children, and I made a few notes here. And I wrote down children, and as we thought about infants, and I think about children, of course, I'm looking now, you know, you start thinking about, I was talking earlier about Mr. Griswold and I, and he said find us appeal. A lot of times we think about infants or small children, 2 years and under, and then everybody from 2 years up, we think about the age of 12 or something, or sometimes 11. And a lot of times your medications and things that you get, that's age kind of the break-off they'll have, 2 to 11, 2 to 12. Sometimes 2 to 6, and they'll go 6 to 11. But it just depends. But we think about that group as children. So I'm going to go from about 2 years old now. And I jotted down a few notes. I said, during that time, you begin to teach. You begin to show. You may have been doing that all along, but especially at this age, because there's a lot of why, and you, of course, think of the terrible twos and terrible threes people mention. But you begin to teach and show, demonstrate. And I made a few notes here. Also, this is where you come along and you say, no, you don't stick the paper clip into the socket at the house, at home. No, you'll get shocked. No, you don't try to unplug and plug the lamp back up, you know, with one prong in and one prong out. You know, this is when you begin to show them things that may hurt them, you know, things they don't need to do. No, don't open that door. You know, I still mentioned, you know, when the kids were little, Luis would smile, and Jesse and Maggie, we put those doorknobs, those covers on the doorknobs, so there are certain doors they couldn't open. And Luis was older than Jesse, but it amazed me, they kept Luis out and Jesse got in. And I don't know how she figured that out, but she would use both her hands and squeeze it as tight as she could, and she could still get the door open. And Luis, he was a few years old, and he'd be out there rattling that door all day long, you know. And it's just different with different kids. Now, Maggie, she never did want to bother anything. If you said, don't go in there, she'd just shrug her shoulders and say, okay, I don't go in there because that's what I'm told. So all children are they're different. And that's the same way it is with us. So as we grow as infants, become children, and, you know, eating off the floor is another thing. And, of course, that changes, though, with the number of children. First child, nobody eats off the floor. And second and third, you know, you pick stuff up and blow on it and you eat it. And that's just how it works. And they see us do it, and that's what they do. And, you know, you just kind of rub it on your pants or blow on it, and you're done with it. Or drop something in the car, you go through fast food, and it drops down on the floorboard. It's almost like if you get it fast enough, nothing gets on it. Grab it, and you pick it up, and you say, whew, if it stayed down there a few more seconds, it had all kinds of bacteria on it. But since we got it as quick as we did, just go ahead and dip it in that ketchup and go on. And as children, that's what we begin to teach them. And as children, as we grow and you think about where we're at in our, I guess, with Christ, that's kind of what we think of as well. We tend to be a little more, not risk-taking, but you depend more on your parents, but you watch them more, and you're more trustworthy. In other words, whatever they say do, I'll do it. And I tell Kim all the time, I say, you know, it's you get to the point where you realize in your life as you're raising children that you realize that you don't know everything. There's a point where they think that, oh, you can fix and know everything. No matter what they break, no matter what they do, you can fix it. And that's this stage. And, of course, with Christ and with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God, He can fix everything. But I'm saying it's that excitement that you have as a child that it doesn't matter. Yeah, the wheel came off the wagon, that's okay. Somebody can fix it. And that's the attitude you have as a child. And it's just, it's neat to see that. You have to give them some warnings. But it's a very, very important time in their development. And you have to be cautious with that. And there's one place I wanted to read you here in Galatians, as we talk about, as we try to teach, as we try to show, and we try to demonstrate, just a few places, just maybe two or three verses, chapter 1 of Galatians. You don't have to turn there because I'm going to read it quickly. But that's really what I'm trying to say here when we talk about our life as Christians in that stage of development. For I neither received it of a man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is talking about Paul's ministry of the gospel. And he's talking about here how he was taught and how he was brought up in the ministry. He says, and how he, as an apostle, how he was able to teach and to preach. He said, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by revelation of Jesus Christ. And there's a couple more verses I'll skip to. He said, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. And that's when he was growing, he was learning. He was no longer being fed milk, no longer the infant, no longer being cuddled, but as a child. And very, very important time is development. That's what Paul points out as well. As we go on later, I got two more and then we'll be done. And should be, yeah, plenty of time. You say, well, it's just a couple minutes he says that. But it's only got one other place to read. And then, of course, as adults and maturity, I'll be the last one. And that's where I guess we all strive to be and try to look to be in our word and our walk with God. But as adolescents, this is probably the most unstable time. Begin to question some things. Maybe it seems like when the devil attacks you the most, you say, well, that's true. With adolescents, seems like they're getting attacked a lot. Well, it also seems like spiritually sometimes that's where we get attacked the most too, is when we hit the adolescent stage. Some even argue now that stage goes from about age 12, and I mentioned to you before, even up to the age of 25. If you talk to a lot of people now who are in finance, and they do that for a living, and their recommendation of maybe trust for children or care for children or care for the families, etc., They'll even recommend that you think about those be set up for that child where in generations past, my generation, and specifically before me, children could handle things at 18, 20 years old. They were mature at that time. I'm just talking about not necessarily in Scripture, but talking about just in everyday life. You had a generation that lived through the Depression, had a generation that fought through World War II, had a generation that went to Vietnam. They grew up fast. They said, since that's changed, and now the recommendations, and going back a few years to like my children's generation, it would be like they recommend to think of a child or adolescent all the way up to the age of 25, and that's even hard for me to fathom. They said maybe even 28 or 30 in some cases. And they're talking about maybe if something were to happen to both parents, at what point would you want the children to be able to, you know, if there were anything left in an estate to have, the house or whatever it may be, that have someone else be in control of it until at least the age of 25. Remember, I've shared that with you before, maybe a couple of years ago, that they looked at I don't go by all this, but it's just not neat to talk about, but even neurons in the brain, especially males, and they said that it doesn't look like they're all the way closed, or, you know, all the, I guess, electrical impulses even fully go all the way across until they're 25. And a lot of people, especially women, they'll say, that's about right. Said a man doesn't know what's going on, he's about 25. And said women mature much faster. And we think about that. So think about that as adolescence and that age group. And as I wrote down here, emotionally immature, to grow up, you need to grow. See, you really have no harm, but you just you feel like you're invincible. It's not that you cause problems in cases. It's just in your mind that difficult to change your mind, set in your ways, so to speak. You've had no experience, and you think, oh, I can do or accomplish anything. That's what you think as an adolescent. And you think about that, too, in our spiritual life. We get to the point where sometimes we fail to listen. Maybe pay attention to others, as we see just a second in my example and what happened. And then let me get to that, and that way we can be right out of the way. And that carries us over into the mature adult. Over in 1 Kings, if I can find it. Yeah, I've got it marked. Don't turn, because that way for the sake of time. 1 Kings chapter 12. And last week we talked about Solomon. Talked about Solomon a lot. We talked about how his kingdom was split just not long after his death. And, of course, this is part of that. Said, and King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon. Now we're getting to mature. Said, with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And for the sake of time, I'll go ahead and tell you, the mature Christian, mature person that we see here in the Bible we're getting to read about, but also our maturity, is a person that's fully developed. They're wise. They've experienced things in life. They think through the situation first. They listen before they answer. And so they spake unto him, saying, thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them. Then they will be thy servants forever. But this is what Rehoboam did. Now, in this case, he's a young man. He would be what we call in the adolescent years. And I said, I'm stretching that out too, to, let's say, age 25. mid-20s, maybe even late 20s, but he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and he consulted with the young men that were grown up with him. In other words, they were his age, and which stood before him. He said unto them, what counsel give ye that ye may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now whereas my father did lay with you with heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastened you with whips, but I will chasten you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day as the king had appointed, saying, come to me and again the third day. The king answered the people roughly, or in other words, with an attitude. And forsook, or forgot, or set aside, be a better term, the old men's counsel, or their guidance that they'd given him. In other words, that's a transition in our life as well, as we grow, and we grow in the sincere milk of the Word as we're saved, but also that growing continues. And again, because even as an adult, a mature adult, we still need food. That wasn't the case. We'd have milk as an infant, and we'd go to our vitamins as a child, and in adolescence, we'd make some mistakes and errors and experience things in life, then eventually become mature, and we wouldn't need anything else. But that's not what the Bible teaches. As we become mature in our Christian life, we're to offer counsel and guidance to others. But that does not, as Solomon says, take away our responsibilities either, and I'm paraphrasing, to still continue to study and grow in the Word. Because one thing you don't want to happen is to have to go back and be required the milk of the Word because you can no longer take strong meat or the meal. So I hope that was a blessing to you this morning. Get around, visit some people, and shake some hands, and wishing people a happy Memorial Day. These people visiting, I'm sure, thank you for your attention.